morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Very good. All right, gentlemen. Every once in a while, it's probably nice to kind of reconnect, do a little assessment on our spiritual development by going backwards a little bit. And so today, I kind of like to do that because sometimes we can just make presumptions that we understand certain things over a period of time. We kind of lose focus of what that is. So today, the topic revolves around the simple question. And I actually kind of write down some answers before we came on the air to this question. And the question is this: what is Christianity? I'm sure our listening audience has some immediate responses within their own mindset. But let's hear from you. What are some of the things that you jotted down on what is the answers to what is Christianity? Brent?
Well, I said the body of Christ, like we alluded before, you know, we started recording this. To me, it's like a rhapsody. I relate it to like a symphony where all the players of their own instruments have to be in sync. I mean, I think that's the way that God wants it to be. It's because it's His story. I mean, it's His sheet music. It's His symphony. And I believe in the church when we're all praising Him and worshiping Him, not necessarily in a church, but in our life, then like that's the rhapsody, that's the symphony, you know, that's like music to Him. And to be a Christian, I believe that's how it looks to me anyways.
Okay, all right, yeah, good. Mike, what'd you have?
Christ lived what He taught, and so by the same token, if we are going to call ourselves Christians, we are called to do the same thing.
Okay, all right, nice and succinct. Dan?
Christianity to me is discipleship and trying to emulate the way Christ lived His life. And Christianity, it's not bound by any particular religion or laws or things like that. I think it's a very personal, yet at the same time, a community effort. We can live as Christians in community, and again, it's a very personal thing too with me. But it's the closest I can come is discipleship and following Christ's teachings as best we can.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Frank?
I put Christianity is a way of life. It's compassion, love, respect, pain and joy, knowledge and understanding, as well as action. It's not just going to church or saying that you're a Christian, but it's living the life, living what you read in the Bible. It's also, you know, spreading His word and doing His will.
Okay. Good. Russell?
I put it's love, striving to do Jesus, living selflessly in a loving community, and being an example that all revolves around Jesus and love.
Anything you would like to add there?
I would just say it's studying and learning the commands and teachings of Jesus and then doing them within the church.
Okay, good. Excellent. Nice responses. I'm sure our listening audience, a lot of your responses resonates with their own. I would summarize as saying it's about something that happened. Christianity is about something that happened. So it kind of gives it a historical connotation. And yet it begs a question, doesn't it? What happened?
A movement, a new movement, and it was made new, like a new covenant, a new way. Freedom was set, you know, different roads.
Adolf Hitler had a movement going too.
It wasn't a very good one. Not the movement I'm talking about.
I think it was like a revolution of liberating love.
Okay, yeah.
How are we going to ask God revealing Himself and human as to what it is to be human for us to live that out?
Okay, yeah. God had a revelation, and that was that revelation about what it means to be genuine human was expressed how?
Through Jesus.
For the life of Jesus.
Okay, I think that's what we're talking about, all right? I mean, we're talking about Christianity, and so we're talking about the Jesus of Nazareth being the Christ, of which Christianity is, in a a sense, gets its name. So it is about something that happened, and it's about something that happened to Jesus of Nazareth, as well as something about something that happened through Jesus of Nazareth. When we talk about Christianity, we have to keep at the very center this action to and through a certain individual. Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus of New York City. Not that New York City actually existed for Jesus. Okay. But we say Jesus of Nazareth because we are being specific about a historical individual. Christianity, first and foremost, is about something that happened to Jesus of Nazareth through Jesus of Nazareth. Of which most of what those things, what happened to him and what happened through him, are some of the things that you were talking about. So that's kind of my definition. Now, that needs to be fleshed out a little bit. And one way to flesh that out is to state a couple things that it's not. Christianity is not a moral teaching. It has good moral teachings, but what happened to and through Jesus was not that Jesus went around. If all Christianity is Jesus' teaching, then we've somewhat limited it. Because there's been a lot of other excellent moral teachers out there. So it's not to eliminate it, but let's not strictly define Christianity simply as moral teaching. Secondly, it's not just a moral example. He wasn't just being an example of this is it. We need the example. He does set an example, but that's again a limitation. It would include some of that, but it's not limited to that. A lot more happened than just a moral example. Thirdly, it's not just Jesus teaching us some new route so that we can get to heaven. Christianity is being something about something that happened to and through Jesus is not simply him presenting to you, offering some new way of getting to an afterlife. That is not Christianity. We have to be honest and recognize that's a place. I mean, our decisions, our actions do have, in a sense, eternal consequences. But Christianity in and of itself is not limited to that. So we keep that in mind. And finally, Christianity is not simply some new teaching, some new theology, some new way of understanding God. Now, Jesus does present kind of a new movement within the history of God's interaction with God's creation. It has a revelatory component to it. But that's Christianity in itself isn't saying, well, we've got all these other religions. We're going to have this one out here, and Christianity has this new teaching. Yeah, that's not what Christianity is either. Because something happened to and through Jesus, what Christianity really is a belief that God has fulfilled God's promises in and through Jesus. Christianity, then, is a belief that God has fulfilled God's promises in and through Jesus. Now, when we look at back, Frank mentioned, well, you know, with compassion. We see God fulfilling God's promises through a compassionate act in and through Jesus. We see those things. So in a sense, we could probably come to an understanding that this is God's rescue operation. Nice little term that Christian church people like to talk about is salvation. And we need to understand salvation as God's rescue operation. Rescue. Saved. God's rescue operation has been put into effect once and for all in and through Jesus. Now, out of that, Paul speaks in Galatians 5 about freedom. Does anybody recall in previous studies on what Paul says in Galatians 5:1?
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
Can you say that again?
It is for freedom that Christ has set us free.
It is for freedom. So this act that is established, this happening that is established in and through Jesus as once and for all, right, establishing God's rescue operation provides you a certain level of freedom. What do I mean by that? We are now free to experience God's rescue operation for ourselves because God has acted in and through Jesus. I don't want to say this. God has enacted God's rescue operation in and through Jesus. You now have the freedom to experience that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And once we experience God's rescue operation for ourselves, we come to the conclusion that there is a new world that has been established. And it's a world of justice. It's a world of spirituality. It's a world full of what you guys were talking about, community, relationships. And it's a world of beauty. It's what Paul talks about, restoration. God has restored all of creation. There's a new world. And then, Brent, what you were talking about, this sense of the body of Christ in a kind of a symphonic representation, right, is the experience that he's still with us. This rescue operation, right, we've experienced, so it's alive and in us, right, in and through Jesus, which then has connotations to it. That's what Russ is talking about. We're called then to live out what Jesus. So we can kind of see some of his teachings. We can see the moral example, right, component. We can see that this project of rescue operation has eternal consequences. So therefore, there is kind of the heaven, the afterlife component, and it has the connotations of a revelatory representation of God's of a new way of understanding God. That this God, who previously to Jesus was intersecting the physical world with the spiritual world through what the Jews would call the temple, that somehow a very divine being lived in the physical world in the temple. And these first followers of this long-haired Mediterranean peasant Jewish itinerant rabbi from Nazareth said, these people looked at him and says, you know, we see God moving in him, in and through him. The divine is in the human, no longer in the temple, but the divine is still intersecting with the physical in two worlds, not two separate worlds, but two worlds are overlapping. And so when Jesus comes on the scene in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, Brent, can you read that for me?
After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee and told the good news that comes from God. He said, "The time has come. God's kingdom will soon be here. Turn back to God and believe the good news."
Okay, thank you. Now, we've talked quite extensively about this whole kingdom of God. Anybody have like a short little recap, a synoptic?
Kingdom of God is the way of love that Jesus inaugurated.
Yeah, we kind of simplify it by talking about kingdom meaning reign or rule or way, and that we at least wrongly understand God as love. Therefore, we could say that this is the reign, the rule, the way of love. That in and through Jesus, we see this way. And yes, this way has moral teachings. Yes, this way has a moral example. Yes, this way does speak about an eternal relationship. Yes, this way does expose and manifest, reveal God's new movement. Now, in Jesus' day, you have to appreciate, when he was a young man, there was two revolts on the Roman Empire during the time between 4 to 6 BC and anywhere from 29 to 30 or so, what we'd say, AD. During his lifetime, in that period of time, there was two revolts. Most of those revolts against the empire had to do with taxation. And what did the Roman Empire, just take a wild guess, what do you think the Roman Empire did to those Jewish folk who revolted?
Crucified
him. Man, crucifixion was around a lot longer. So he's well aware. Now, what? Imagine what they spoke out, what they yelled out in the middle of the revolt. What do you think they yelled? It's not the kingdom of the Roman Empire. It's the... Okay, so now there's been two of these with mass slaughters by the Roman Empire during Jesus' lifetime. He shows up on the scene, and the first words out of his mouth is, guess what?
God is here.
Okay, people must have panicked. We just, what are you talking about? You must be insane. Just a couple, a decade ago, we had this pronouncement that the kingdom of God was here, and we saw a lot of crucifixions. We saw a lot of torture, a lot of execution. And just a few years before that, there was another one. And now you're going to come here and call us to follow this, and somehow this is good news? And yet that's precisely what we say as Christians who practice Christianity. We believe that God has fulfilled God's promises in and through the very man who stood there and said, yep, I'm here to tell you God's moving. And some of those Jewish listeners would have realized that we've been waiting a long time. Went through exile, reestablishment of the temple. We're currently living in a state of oppression on the Roman Empire. We've been waiting a long time for God to move. But the last time we heard that phrase, where was God? No wonder they were crushed when he was crucified. They kind of saw it as being inevitable. Because here we go again for the third time. But this time, the crucifixion had other implications, because this crucifixion led to a resurrection, which becomes God's triumphal statement. See, that validated that what Jesus was saying and what Jesus was doing, what was being done, what God was doing in and through him to fulfill God's promises, right, was validated. This crucifixion was much different. And so, yes, everything that you responded is part of what we do when we say that we are followers of this one that God acted in and through to fulfill God's promise. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning. In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.